scripture is Psalm 125, verses 1 to 5. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people from this time forth forever. For the country of wickedness cannot rest on the land allotted to the righteous, lest the righteous be cast their hands to the righteous. Be good, O Lord, to those who are good, and to those who are upright in their hearts. As the suffer turn aside to their crooked ways, the Lord shall lead them away, yet the Lord is for the iniquity. Truth be upon Israel.
We thank you, Father, for the assurance in your word that we can have full confidence and trust in you. And we do that because we know that we want your spirit to be among us. Thank you for each person who has taken time to come out and enjoy the worship of the Holy Father in my house. Well, I'd like to wish you a good Sabbath morning. Each one of you this morning, it's good to see you. It's great to see you in God's house this morning. Now, just a few days before the Christmas holiday. Yes, it's almost Christmas, 2020. And I think you would agree with me that this Christmas is like no other. Everything has changed. Everything is upside down. We accept the Bible prophecy. You and I have wondered for 100 years about how those end time contractions will hit. And just now we're feeling the legacy. That's in Matthew 24. Did you know there's some of us who are already speculating as to how long it's going to be until we get back to normal? For those of you who are experienced at the newborn labor pain, you may need to explain something to the rest of us. Once the contractions begin in earnest, nothing remains the same. That's the way God made this process. And today it appears to me that we are in it until the delivery is completed. What I'm saying to you this morning is this. Get used to it, children. This is what we have spent years preparing for. Now, like Joseph and Daniel and his three friends, we have the opportunity to see just what we were made of. You are aware we have experienced over the last 9 months or so an assault on our particular form of worship. Turns out this is an attack not only on God's holy place of worship, but as well upon the very one whom we worship. In times past, we've had the honor, the privilege, the pleasure of coming to God's house for a wide variety of functions. Can you remember when we actually had Christmas programs, school programs, concerts, baby dedications, funerals, weddings, evangelistic meetings, baptisms, and families? And of course, chief of these services were the programs and the presentations that have occupied this very sanctuary every Sabbath morning. What a blessed form of worship we have had over the years. For decades, this manner of worship has been well established in our hearts and minds. We love to come and enjoy the fellowship. Friends, family, be with our God. Is designated house. It's here that we have studied our Bible and listened to the Word of God as it is being presented. We honor and worship Him as the Creator of all things on His holy spirit. He is our Redeemer and Savior and also our King. Out of our love and respect for Him, we remember and worship Him right here each week. Now, it does seem like, as though the likelihood is rather high, that we have taken this privilege for granted. As we are learning, things do not always stay the same in the world that was marked by rebellion. And today we are perfect time and touch in that presentation and even the reasoning, the capacity of believers. We've been told that someone, somewhere else, has decided what we need to do to stay healthy while we're in the house of the Lord. A few weeks ago, I began to wonder if these guys are new. This might be influencing us to think a little differently about our worship in the house of God. And perhaps the way we think about God Himself. I wonder if our relationship with God could be more or less affected by these changes in our society. Are we getting closer to God, or could the distance be slower? Could it be that something has happened with our attachment to and our affection for our worship in God's house? Consider this morning what may be the most inspirational gathering of human beings on the face of the earth. Think about it. Perhaps it would be the United Nations in full assembly at their center of operations in New York City. Could it be the 100,000 people that are going to gather for the Rose Bowl New Year's Day coming fast? Could it be the U.S. Congress in full session? Perhaps it will be the assembly for the inauguration of the President of the United States on January 20th. David addressed the opinion of God for the assembly of His people on 87:4, when He offered, "The Lord loveth with a great design, more than all the dwellings of Jacob." Now, I'll make no mistake. God loves the assembly of people who are gathered together to enact decent legislation. But according to our text, the assembly of God's children in Zion is most highly valued in the eyes of the Lord. In the Bible, we know that God places a very special protection upon the dwellings of His people. In fact, Satan views God as plain favorite in His careful word. So 1:10, Satan put it straight to God by saying, "You have always protected man and his property from harm." And so he ends with that, can't we? Now, David had developed a keen understanding of the Lord's protective measures. And he wrote in Psalm 34:7, that the angel of the Lord guards and delivers all before he steps into the wind. Furthermore, he wrote in Psalm 91:9-10, "If you make the Most High your shelter, no evil shall conquer you, no plague shall come near your dwelling." You can see that God has a particular love for the dwelling of people. Yet David's declaration that he loves the gates of Zion more is an indication that he has a very special attachment to the assembly of the saints within the house of God. That's you this morning. So what is the import of meeting in the house of God? Does it really matter to God who we meet on this Sabbath morning? Well, the first point we might make is this. It actually makes God's people happy as we meet in here. Psalms 122:1, David reports that he was glad when they said unto me, "Let us go into the house of the Lord." Isaiah 56:7 told us that God's people will be filled with joy in His house of prayer, which will be called a house of prayer for all nations. In Psalm 84:10, David informs us of the value of the house of God as His personal testimony. And just go to this text, will you? David informs us of the value of the house of God as His personal testimony. "A day in the house of the Lord is better than a thousand elsewhere." Oh, wait a minute. That seems pretty definitive. One day in the house of the Lord is better than spending 3 years in the Hawaiian Islands or wherever. Is it possible that David could have been exaggerating just a little bit here? It could have been that he had this very special relationship with his Heavenly Father. A day in the house of the Lord is better than a thousand years. Well, there are for certain some very special blessings to those who value their assembly in the house of the Lord. First, this is where we find the gracious presence of the Lord. This is also where God bestows his blessings upon his worshipers. This God reveals himself to his people in the house of the Lord. After all, this is for the most wonderful and the most solemn ordinances of the Lord as it stands. It's also the place where we can hear the testimony of other believers. I personally enjoy Sabbath school, where we hear how other people and their perspective come out of God's prayer. Furthermore, God's house is the natural center of preaching the Word of God. It is a place of our edification from the Lord. Christ himself has informed us in Matthew 18:20 that where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. In fact, it is the most hallowed meeting place in the realm of God's cause. It is a shelter that is provided for us by heaven, for God's own people. Let me ask you a question. Do you think it is possible that there is a safer place on earth every Sabbath morning compared to the safety found in the house of the Lord? Think about it. And what reason can be assigned for the affectionate presence of being in the house of the Lord? Well, the chief motive, of course, is the worship. This is the primary reason that we assemble together. In fact, the scriptures state that this is the very existence of God's people. Psalm 95:6-7. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker, for He is our God. We are the people that He watches over, the sheep that are under His care. Psalm 95:5-9 says, exalt the Lord our God. Bow low before His feet, for He is holy. Exalt the Lord our God. Worship at His holy mountain of Jerusalem. For the Lord our God is holy. Are you aware that worshiping in God's house will never cease to exist? We are informed in Isaiah 66:23 of the perpetual nature of our worship in heaven. It shall come to pass that from one month to another, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all humanity come to worship before me, saith the Lord. Now, in this week's Sabbath school lesson, we have an interesting quote that lies here. This is how one inspired writer was moved to write about the benefits of worshiping in God's house on His holy day. God teaches that we should assemble in His house to cultivate the attributes of perfect love. This will fit the dwellers of earth for the mansion that Christ has gone to prepare for all who love Him. There they will assemble in the sanctuary from Sabbath to Sabbath, from one room to another, and unite in the loftiest praise of song and praise and thanksgiving to Him who sits upon the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. You see how we might just get a little pushed off from the adversary and take the time for the difficulty? In the olden days, God was so eager to meet with His people that He specifically instructed church leadership with this. Let them make Him a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. That's 25:8. Paul informed us in Hebrews 10:25 that God must be used for corporate worship. Let us not neglect our meeting together, as some folks do, but encourage and warn each other, especially now that the day of His return is drawing near. So now, everything has changed. Everything is upside down. Gratefully, God reminds us, in Malachi 3, I am God, I do not change. And that is the blessing of the Christmas story this morning. At a time when there is so much that we cannot rely upon, at a time when most everything falls into the category of distraction, distortion, or deception, there is one who reminds his very own, don't forget what I've done for you. You see, from the very beginning, God's people were informed that there would be a way out of the impending predicament. God specifically informed the serpent that one would come to put an end to him by crushing his head. That's Genesis 3:15. All the way through the Old Testament, the antidote for rebellion is repeated in a myriad of ways. Most of the time, it was God saying to his people, by way of his many servants, something that sounded a lot like this. Come on now. Please stand with me. Use my strength. Stop doing dumb stuff. Well, the message today was basically what they would say. Come on now. Please stand with me. Use my strength and stop doing dumb stuff. You see, God's people have always been indisputably shown that they were loved beyond measure. And roughly 2,000 years ago, God sent his own Son to pay the price for our transgressions. The rest we can say is history. According to Matthew 1:21, he came specifically to save his people from their sins. Paul explains the magnitude of this operation from Galatians 4, verse 4-7, when he writes, but when the right time has come, God sent his Son. And because you now have become God's children, you can call God your dear Father. He further explains in Philippians 2, verse 6-11, though Christ is God, he did not demand and think to have right with God. He made himself nothing. He took the humble position of a slave and appeared in human form. In human form, he obediently humbled himself even further by dying a criminal's death on the cross. Because of this, God raised him up to the height of heaven and gave him a name that is above every other name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. And every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. And that is the essence of the story. Is that the only thing left to be said? Christ the Lord. Yes, almost everything has changed. Almost everything is upside down. But not the Christmas story. Just think about it. This wonderful story is the one thing that has not changed in the slightest fraction over the last 2,000 years. Furthermore, it never will. How grateful we are for God's deepest and loving care for us. This morning. Let us pray that our gratefulness will be made evident in our faithful service to Him. And so it's been a challenging time for the people of God around the globe. I'm sure you know the story. I just heard this week how terrible the people in Cuba are. For food, times such as these have the potential for exalting a certain toll on the physical and mental, social and spiritual health of the saints of the Most High. This morning we are gathered together, assembled, if you will, to give honor and praise and worship to the One whose very name is superior to everything else in the universe. I want to encourage you this Sabbath morning to stand by the One. In this regard, I wish you the most blessed Christmas that you would most. Whether it is a time of no other, that we are encouraged We are blessed. We are grateful. But there is one thing that we need to understand, that is your love for us. It manifests you through in your Son to pay the price of the things that we have done. We pray that we will recall every day and in worship each Sabbath day in your house, remembering all that you have done for us and dedicating our lives faithfully to your service. Father, I want to thank you for the people who have come out this morning. Give them strength, give them endurance, we pray. Thank you for loving us and your children. We pray. Oh, yes. Christ's name. Amen.